One. From the Director Department of Family Care, requesting authorization to execute a contract with the State of Wisconsin Department of Health Services to operate a managed care organization to provide the family care benefit in a geographic area that includes Kenosha County and Racine County for the period commencing in 2012, immediately upon certification by DHS and continuing through December 31st, 2012, and to accept the funding thereunder.
Good morning, Ms. Ledger, Mr. Hodgson. How are you guys this morning?
Good morning, Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors. We are well.
Good.
Apologies to Ms. Mapp for putting such a long resolution in there.
All right.
What you have before you, as we brought to the board earlier, was the board authorization to enter into two initial discussions with the State Department of Health Services about the Milwaukee County Department of Family Care offering the family care benefit in Racine and Kenosha. That initial approval was as a result of the state telling us that they wanted to enter into discussions about certification dependent upon receipt of additional approvals from both Racine and Kenosha County. Milwaukee County disputed to the state the necessity of having Racine and Kenosha, basically state that this county can provide family care. Clearly, Milwaukee County can provide the family care benefit. We were allowed to submit a proposal. But in the interest of time and positioning ourselves to be able to do this, while we continue to dispute the necessity of these MOUs, we were able to craft them in such a fashion they most closely resemble the MOU that the department currently has with other entities in Milwaukee County. Racine and Kenosha have both signed those memorandum of understanding. So the next step for us is to have two discussions with the state at this point. One is to certify us to be able to provide that benefit the way that we are certified to provide the benefit in Milwaukee County, and then concurrently to begin discussions about what that capitation rate will be for services. So what we ask for now is board authorization to go ahead and move on to that next step in this process.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo? I have a motion for approval. Supervisor Lipsko?
So last time we discussed it, I don't know that there were still some issues of sort of what is our business plan and, and our measures of success down there. I mean, I think it's clear that one of the reasons that we're looking at this is the fact that at least we were frozen and that this is seen as one of the ways that we can continue to grow. Mm-hmm. Have we developed a business plan that we know, I'm assuming that we do, in terms of the break-even, or what is the point at which, if they don't give us the capitation rate that we're projecting in our plan, that we would not go ahead with it, or that you would return to us and say, all right, we've determined that based on the deal they're offering us, it's not a good business decision for us to expand in this territory. And I want to know what's in place to protect us, because I do think there's a lot of risk here, and it goes beyond, I think, the level of analysis that we're going to do from reading a couple pages of a report.
Absolutely. Madam Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, in terms of what we would anticipate or require from a capitation rate from the state, I'll defer to Mr. Hudson, our Chief Financial Officer.
Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors, Board Supervisor Lipscomb, basically right now what we're asking to do is proceed to that next step, to sit down with the state and try to negotiate a capitation rate so I can do that type of forecasting. Ultimately, we'll have to come back to you with a proposal on the contract, and also this is the outlook, but I can't do that until I get your authorization to take those additional steps. That's what we're trying to do here. So to answer your question, I haven't done a forecast yet because I haven't been able to work with the state yet to work on a capitation rate, and we weren't able to do that because they wanted these approvals from Racine and Kenosha counties. So we've gotten those approvals, so now the next steps would be to do just what you're talking about.
Okay. I guess my my fear is that we just continue to march sort of incrementally towards it, and yet I don't know at what point that objective analysis is going to be shared with us. And my fear is always that it's shared at the point at which it's sort of too late, that we would never pull the plug at that, unless it was just totally upside down. And so I do want to make sure that at that point that we are given true analysis and real discussion of the risks that we've got out there.
Sure. Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors, you'll be given ample time to look at it. I guess the key here is, just like with the existing program, should something become catastrophic, we have a certification process that becomes annual, and should the County Board of Supervisors elect not to no longer have the program, they can do that. It's usually a 5-year contract, renewable annually, subject to certification. So you have those options with the existing program. You would have the same options with Racine Kenosha, and could pull out relatively quick. And there would be in the health and community supports contract requires a transition plan where there would be transitioning to another MCO and things like that. Yeah. Should you elect, are you elected officials choose not to run this program anymore?
Yeah. Thank you.
Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Church.
I just want to piggyback. They will have a separate reserve fund in case any deficits that they have. So Racine Kenosha reserve fund will be separate from Milwaukee County reserve fund. Am I correct?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, will be required. How I report to the state will probably be in a consolidated format. How I report to Milwaukee County will probably be separate. But our reserves are going to be combined. We're considered one entity. Just like Community Care is, who operates in multiple counties, they're one entity. So their complete reserves is for all different locations. What I would be doing is reporting back to you on the operations separately from Milwaukee County. The reserves, they will in order to fund the reserves, they will look to our existing reserves as a mechanism, and along with the capitation rate.
And Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayor, just to clarify too, when we talk about the reserves, those are dollars that have been a part of the capitation payment that the department has received from the state. Those are not county dollars. Those aren't tax levy dollars. Those are, as we receive capitation payments for each member that's enrolled in the program, we fund our three required reserves from those dollars. So those aren't tax levy dollars. That we have sufficient reserves to be able to deal with any sort of untoward or unforeseen occurrence that happens within the program.
So that's why the state looks at you so favorably, because we have the reserve funds at the present moment. So that just follows on to the new program that you're trying to do with Racine Kenosha.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayo, Milwaukee County has been in the sort of enviable position of being able to having funded its reserves, of not having to we haven't entered into any sort of risk loss share agreement with the state. And although we received, as you all recall, backing from the county in the early days of the program has been self-sufficient on those Medicaid dollars that it receives. So that does make sense for the state, that it's something that they point to and has been pointed to even in the report that came up from the Legislative Audit Bureau, that the solvency and the high quality markers for this particular program. So to the extent that the state looks upon us favorably, that certainly is helpful. It also, when you talk about it, and also in reference to, I think, one of Supervisor Lipscomb's questions, if a new program were going into a new area and didn't have an existing population that they would be serving, there would be, I believe, more of a concern in terms of how many members had to come into that program in order to support their existing infrastructure. As we pointed out at the previous Health and Human Needs meeting, we are really adding, I think, a pretty small portion to our administrative structure, because we have the existing staff here. So we're able to expand to another area we don't need to duplicate all of the things that we currently do. There's lots of efficiencies that are currently within our program.
What about lifting the cap? If they lift the cap, how would that affect your reserve and also function of your staff and stuff like that? Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, Supervisor, where we would be, you know, very excited and quite pleased to lift the cap. You know, that's moving forward. It is going to take legislative action in order for that to happen. When people don't come into the program, you know, obviously we don't receive a capitation payment, but we also don't pay for services for them. So when people come in, if the cap is lifted, I mean, obviously the biggest impact is going to be on those individuals who are currently waiting for services. But as they come in, they bring with them then their capitation payments. Racine and Kenosha are different in terms of population and size. They've actually been sort of enrolling incrementally. They've had enough attrition that they really haven't waitlisted, but those are smaller areas, so they haven't really felt they haven't built a waitlist due to the enrollment caps. But once those are lifted, obviously it puts all of the programs and all of the services for individuals in a better position.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Just as a side note, it's not even if the caps will be lifted. It's when the caps are lifted, because the state of Wisconsin received notice in December, the middle of December, from the federal government letting them know that they never had the right to put a cap on the family care program. So now it's not a matter of if they lift the cap, it's a matter of when they lift the cap. Mm-hmm. And that subject will be before IGR if anybody's interested on Monday.
I know that you can just say, Madam Chair, but they also said they're going to change the formula somehow to, because of the increase of funding that they have to pay out.
They're changing the guidelines. They're trying to change the guidelines.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Mayor, if you're referring to sort of those, what the state refers to as their long-term care sustainability papers, they've put together 7 different position papers on a variety of topics within the long-term care system: residential services, administrative efficiencies, and I feel like I'm trying to name the dwarfs, IRIS and self-directed supports, and identified living well at home. I got 4. But identifying within those focus areas where the state believes that they can achieve some efficiencies and cost savings. So we've taken a look at those internally. The MCO directors statewide have taken a look at those. Some of those things we've identified that we have been working on all along, but that's where the state has identified the necessary dollars in order to lift the cap on family care and IRIS.
Okay.
All right. And again, that'll be in front of IGR on Monday, and we'll have a report, I'm sure, next cycle. Supervisor Trusick.
I think the last time we asked the question about wait lists, the answer was there would be separate wait lists. It seems now you're saying that they do not currently have a wait list, but once we get the whole program going, they'll start with wait lists. Did I misunderstand your answer there?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurisdick, every geographic area has they're accountable for their population. So Milwaukee County being one, you know, wherever there's a resource center. So they're responsible for their numbers of people who need services and are asking for services, and people who, for whatever reason, leave the program. So everything is handled separately. If someone leaves a program in La Crosse County, it doesn't create a vacancy in Milwaukee. So if there's a wait list in Milwaukee, it doesn't have any impact on anyone else's. From the standpoint of Racine and Kenosha, the reason they hadn't, in the light of these caps, hadn't developed a wait list is because they had enough people leaving the program and a smaller number wanting services, so they simply did not have to. They've had family care in place there for over 5 years. They're at entitlement. They don't have a wait list. They won't have a wait list once the caps are lifted. They've just sort of been proceeding with business as usual because of the difference in their demographics and the size of their population.
If they start to exceed their numbers, will they have their own wait list? I'm trying to understand your answer. Is that
okay?
Yes or no?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurisic, I don't think there's a number that they can exceed. If a county's at entitlement, then the door is open for people who need services to get services when they need them. Without a cap, which is, again, Madam Chair had pointed out, it will have to be lifted. In the absence of a cap, if a county is at entitlement, there's no ceiling that you can't go above.
Yes or no? Milwaukee County currently has a wait list.
Yes, Madam Chair and Supervisor.
If those circumstances were the same in Racine and Kenosha, and they had a wait list, mm-hmm. would it be separate from Milwaukee County's?
Yes.
All right. The reserves, however, and mm-hmm. I'm glad Supervisor mm-hmm. Mayo asked that question, as I understand mm-hmm. it, there's only one pot of reserves. That's for everyone mm-hmm. that's going to be administered mm-hmm. by basically Milwaukee County staff.
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jerzyk, we would be viewed as one organization, correct? So our three reserves would be applicable both to the Milwaukee County operations and the Racine-Kenosha operations. However, the capitation rate, as derived, will have built-in factors for administrative costs, and there typically is a factor in there for risk and to help fund reserves. So that hasn't been worked on yet. But your short answer to your question is yes.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up the word risk, because I have been very nervous about this entire proposal from the beginning. But it seems that because there is only one reserve, and the fact that we're going to be adding, really what we're doing here is developing a regional model. And in my opinion, perhaps the state should be doing this, not the county, because you're answering to this board. I have a district. I represent the South Shore of Milwaukee County. When I vote, I represent the interests of those constituents. I do not represent Racine and Kenosha. I keep asking that question because I think you're increasing the risk and liability for my constituents with regard to this program. And another question I have is, have you run this past the resource board in Racine and Kenosha?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jersey, yes. Both the resource centers in Racine and Kenosha are in agreement with this. There are some long-term care districts that administer the family care benefit throughout Wisconsin. Those aren't formed by the state. Those are formed by the pretty much by the pilot MCOs that started. They became districts as they moved into and were really the sole provider in a larger geographic area. So the state doesn't form those districts. The individual managed care organizations have. But the resource centers understand that they will be explaining additional options to people in Racine and Kenosha, much the same way the resource centers in Milwaukee County now explain Milwaukee County community care and eye care to individuals.
So if a decision is made on behalf of a single person in Kenosha who's not satisfied mm-hmm. with that decision, and they can't get the resource board to represent them, am I the county supervisor that they're going to call and complain mm-hmm. to?
Madam Chair, Supervisor Jersyk, if you're talking about an individual who's enrolled in the program who is, for whatever reason, dissatisfied with their services, they have an appeal and grievance process
right.
that they go through internally the same way that they do within every managed care organization. I would imagine that if a person who resides in Racine or Kenosha continues past that appeal and grievance process and it goes all the way up to a state fair hearing with an administrative law judge, will always do what individuals in this county do. They will call their own county board supervisor. They will call their state senator. You know, that's sort of the benefit of having, you know, a public voice in this.
You're assuming they've gotten to the level where they actually have some appeal rights. I can give you a real practical example. I get folks calling me because they can't get the department to return phone calls mm-hmm. after they've tried a lot of times. And by calling their supervisor and I check with the department, all of a sudden, the phone calls get recalled, mm-hmm. returned. You know, I've been very nervous about this from the get-go. Mm-hmm. I understand the model. I mm-hmm. understand the cost savings.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand the governance issue. Mm-hmm. I don't understand how the constituents of Racine and Kenosha are going to get proper representation in this. I really mm-hmm. don't. And mm-hmm. maybe this is the time for me to start voting no on this program. I'm very nervous about the model. If we're going to create regional models, mm-hmm. it seems to me the entire region should be represented, not just coming to the county board.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong in this in some way.
Well, Madam Chair, Supervisor Jurisic, the other piece to remember is that every, you know, there will be a board of governance upon which, you know, members sit the way that they do on the CMO governing board here. But I think sometimes the one another way to look at it is when any department within Milwaukee County provides a service beyond its geographic borders, whether it be IMSD, you know, selling technology services. This is a service that we provide beyond our geographic borders. It's different because it's a long-term care service, but really it is, you know, not from a contractual standpoint, not dissimilar from the way that the medical examiner provides services beyond Milwaukee County's borders. You know, IMSD provides services beyond Milwaukee County's borders. So the Department of Family Care will provide services simply beyond our borders to people who are not the legal responsibility of the county but are still enrolled in family care.
Well, we do it through contract services, and contracts carefully define, you know, usually a fee for service. So, you know, your analogy isn't very pure there. You know, perhaps if we were doing a fee for service with Racine and Kenosha, where we were just giving them a fee for the administration of their family care program, I could understand this. But it's really more direct in terms of your management of the family care program in Racine and Kenosha. And you keep coming back to the board. I mean, if this were a simple contract with a fee for service, we would have approved the contract. That had been the end of it. But you keep coming back to us for more and more approval on these on this type of a program model that you're putting together. And we're hearing that there's just one reserve with increased risk and liability. I start to get concerned about that, and I really question whether this regional model shouldn't be created and prepared by the state of Wisconsin. So, thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, can I speak?
You go ahead.
Madam Chair, Supervisor.
Chair, I'm the chair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know, Matt.
sorry. I
come over here.
All right,
let's go.
In regards to the concerns here, first of all, I need to state this so everybody's aware. This was a social service program that is now run in a business model or an insurance model. So we are expected, we submit three-year business plans. We have to operate like a business. Like any business, there's risk. There's for-profit entities out there that are operating this model. And in regards to the concerns regarding risk, there are three reserves. There's a working capital reserve, there's a restricted reserve, and there's a solvency reserve. When you deplete the first two, the working capital and the restricted, the solvency reserve is a pooled reserve. The pooled reserve is every managed care organization has donated pledged $750,000 into a big pool. What happens is when money's run out for that MCO, that's the pool they go to use. But usually by then, that MCO will no longer exist. There will be a transition of members, and the program, as you know it, would no longer be part of Milwaukee County if should that happen. They would become part of CCI, iCare, or any other entity that wanted to get involved. Why I bring this up is because, truthfully, as policymakers, you're now being faced more with a business model and whether you want to operate a business model, because that is what is happening. And there are other entities out there that haven't been in the family care game that would like to get into the family care program, who are for-profit players, and that is what we compete with. So we're trying to further expand and diversify so we can continue to provide the family care benefit to not only the residents of Milwaukee County, but to other counties as well. The family care districts, as Director Ledger mentioned, have county board members who sit on that governing board, who can speak a voice to their county, but ultimately it's run by that entity. So when there's a concern as to whether they'll be calling you or whatever, they may be calling you, but as far as jurisdiction, you wouldn't have a responsibility to that. You just wouldn't. So I guess I'm stating this because I'm trying to prepare you, because the program continues to change, because the rules in the direction by the state are changing. We presently now not only report to the Department of Health Services, but we also report to the Office of Commissioner on Insurance. We will have a financial examination occur for 2011 in 2012, later this year. So aside from our external auditors that come in, we're going to have a whole other set of auditors coming in from the state, and they will be here a minimum of 6 weeks, they've told us. And they will work off the work papers of the external auditors. So we go through a lot of examination to ensure that we're meeting their certification requirements and their standards. I'm just sharing this with you because the next step in this whole family care model, and there's talk and it's at the federal level, will be moving to an integrated model, which is acute and primary. Hospitalizations, primary pharmacy costs, those types of things. We will be coming back to you relative to moving towards an integrated model as well. So I'm just sharing this so you're aware that this is the future of long-term care. They're gradually expanding core and trying to coordinate care. So I wanted to share that with you because those are some decisions that you'll be faced with.
All right. Supervisor West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hodgson did cover most of what I was going to say. But in addition to that, and I understand that Supervisor Jurcik's at a little bit of a disadvantage because she's new to the committee. But for the rest of us, we went through this when we did family care and then when we did the expansion of family care. So they're bringing back these reports to make us aware of where we are in the process so that we're not all of a sudden bringing the contract to the table and having supervisors say, well, how come we weren't, being informed all along? The other part of that is that when we expanded to cover the disability community, we were, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we were about two meetings away from signing the actual contract. We still had not had the capitation rate worked out with the state. We were still at the table with them going, I think you can do a little better. And so a lot of this is not, the fault of Family Care in Milwaukee County. A lot of this is still the fault of the state because that's who our contract is with. It's actually, quite an honor for Milwaukee County to be selected to provide family care in Racine and Kenosha because when we met with the state, not only did they like the fact that Ms. Ledger's not making a six-figure salary, but they also liked the fact that we had done this program efficiently and we're doing it well. We got awarded this contract. We competed. We filled out an RFP. We asked to be at the table, and we were selected. And so I think that, yes, now absolutely we need to ask questions mm-hmm. and make sure that all the I's are, dotted and the T's are crossed, mm-hmm. but this is actually a great opportunity for Milwaukee County. And this, for me, is one of those opportunities that I look for as a county supervisor. What is it that Milwaukee County does well that we can take out and expand, statewide and earn revenue from? And hopefully this will be revenue generating. Our family care program does earn revenue, mm-hmm. which is the reason why we're interested in expanding into receiving Kenosha. So I know it's a new process, but we're also being updated on a regular basis at the CMO governing board. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, kind of eyes on it. And so I think definitely when we have concerns, we need to let them know. But basically, I just wanted to remind everybody that this was an RFP process. This was something that we asked to do and that we have been selected to do. And now we're in the, final stages of actually implementing this program in Racine and Kenosha, which is exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time. But again, I think I wish we had other opportunities, Midas and whatever else. I wish we would have, taken those opportunities and run with them. But it does seem daunting. But we've been through this before, in fact, within the last 2 years. And so I just want to assure you that this isn't new. And again, Supervisor Lipscomb
and Supervisor Harris, Supervisor Mayo, myself, and maybe Supervisor Rice, because he's a transplant. He's been here before. Remember just, you know, how much time in reporting the implementation of family care takes. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? We do have a motion for approval. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
West?
Aye.
Rice?
Aye.
Jersey? Jersey?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved. All right.